Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought onto the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress."
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your word. We thank you that you are our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. We give thanks on this Remembrance Sunday for your love and your faithfulness to us throughout the ages. We pray now for David as he comes to preach to us. We pray, Lord, that you will give him your knowledge and wisdom as he leads and teaches us. Give us ears to hear and humble hearts, Lord, so that we can listen and respond to your message to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Simon and Becky and Reuben and Lydia. And hello, everyone. What a week it has been. We are now in another national lockdown. And though in many ways, we may feel more prepared for this one and thankful that children are still able to be at school. Yet, as Tim said right at the start, we need to acknowledge that this will again be a hugely challenging time for so many. And already we are seeing the death toll rise again from COVID in our nation. You know, these kind of moments like Remembrance Sunday, a very apt time to just pause and acknowledge the loss and grief that this pandemic has caused. I was again down on the seafront recently, and I remembered a memorial that went up on kind of Hove lawns during the last lockdown, where someone had written on stones numbers of every person who died. And the total has obviously increased since that was taken last lockdown. But I picked up one of the stones that was actually put after it was dismantled onto the beach. And I find every time I see one of these stones with a number on it, I remember that it means an individual who lost their lives, a bit like Tim's poppy from the First World War. Everyone precious, everyone related to somebody else. And this stone with a number on it, isn't just number 11,401. It's a person whose name I don't know, but who was loved by others. And as I was thinking about just the immensity of a memorial like that with so many thousands of lives represented, I remember when I was a student going to a war cemetery near where I was studying. And this is it, Mattingly War Cemetery. And you could just see these, not stones and pebbles, but crosses, white crosses, row after row after row of lives that had been lost in the Second World War. And, you know, one of the things in our world, and even in this time we're living in, is that it is a time of huge loss and trouble and turmoil. Some people have described our current situation in this pandemic as the worst medical crisis since 1918, when there was the Spanish flu, the worst financial crisis since the 1920s and the Great Depression, and the biggest social upheaval since the 1960s. We are living in massive times of turmoil and trouble and change. You know, nations are in uproar, we read in the psalm, and that's certainly true in our time, not just over COVID and over the restrictions even caused by it, but in recent weeks, we've seen terrorist attacks in Austria and Vienna, in France as well. People whose lives have been shaken so suddenly. As we have been thinking of those who've lost their lives in conflicts all around the world, let's not forget that there are huge civil wars that still rumble on. Syria, though much more limited now than it once was, yet still not a final conclusion. And Yemen, where this picture is taken from, still after 6 years, huge crises there during the civil war that still goes on. And even with the US election in this past week, we've been reminded of the huge, huge divisions that are there in that nation. Our world is in turmoil, a turmoil far greater than I think we often want to acknowledge. But here is the wonderful thing that this psalm does. This psalm, Psalm 46, points to a world even in greater turmoil than we see in our world, a world in trouble like we couldn't even fully grasp or imagine. And yet, in that trouble, in the trouble of our world today, the psalmist says he will not fear. And we need not fear. And he gives us in verse 1, this verse that is read at remembrance services up and down the country, just as we've done already in our service. He says this, the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, he says, and the psalmist goes on. So I want us to see in this passage today a number of wonderful things that come out of knowing the presence of God in trouble. Even if that trouble is more than we ever thought, there is something wonderful that comes from knowing the presence of God in trouble. Because of his presence, we, you and I, can have courage. Can have courage. Look with me at that first sort of stanza, those first three verses in the psalm. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. What is the trouble that is pictured here in this psalm? Well, it is quite literally the world shaking and falling apart, mountains toppling into the sea. It is kind of whole kind of cosmic upheaval. And yet it is in that context. It is in that context of when the world seems to be shaking and even collapsing around us, that the psalmist says in verse 2, therefore we will not fear. Why? Well, because he has discovered not just a place like Graham found in his house, a place he could go in the cupboard under the stairs that was the kind of safest place in the house, not just a place that was hopefully he wouldn't be too far away from. No, he found a person. Not just any old person, but a person who could be with him anywhere, anytime. He had found that God, God Almighty, this God who was present with him, was his refuge, his fortress, his kind of strong deliverer. God Almighty, as he's going to refer to him later on in the psalm, the one who's in charge of all of heaven's armies. This God, this mighty God, is with the psalmist even when the world is collapsing. And he is with you and he is with me, and the presence of God changes everything. It's really hard to find any little story or picture that kind of quite gives the magnitude of this. But I was reminded of a film called The Blind Side when I was preparing this. And there's this kind of big, huge guy who gets adopted into this family with a small kid. And this kid and the big guy kind of go to to the same school. Amazingly, the guy who's big is really tall and massive for his age, whereas the small guy who's in a much lower year is kind of small for his age. And yet this kid who becomes great friends with his kind of adopted big brother is just such confidence because he's with this massive guy who's got a really huge kind of protective instinct. And you know, you and I have the presence of Almighty God no matter what you're facing. And so what does that mean? Well, it means like the psalmist says in verse 2, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way. It means that we can have courage. Courage for work tomorrow. Courage as we head into a new lockdown, when maybe you're thinking, how are we going to get through this again? Maybe courage as you go into school or college. It means you and I can have courage. Where do you need courage at the moment? Where do you need to remember that you're not alone? That God is with you. You know, these little stanzas after each of the bits that were read by first Reuben and then Becky and then Lydia, after each there's this little word in the original called Selah. People aren't quite sure how to translate it. You might find it in the footnotes in your Bible, but people think it means something like pause. And I wonder if it would do us good just to pause before we even move on in this talk to our next point and the next part of the psalm. And just consider, where do you need courage? And to remember that you are not alone. God is with you and with me. Well, because of God's presence in trouble, it's not just that we can have courage, but the psalmist goes on, and one of the wonderful things we see is that we can have courage, but we can also be glad. We can also be glad. This is how the psalmist continues. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So what's the picture of trouble in this kind of part of the psalm? Well, it's this. It's a picture of a city under siege, oppressed, kind of squeezed from all sides. I don't know if you can relate to that or feel sometimes like that, maybe as we head into this time, feeling squeezed and oppressed. You know, a city under siege was often worried that its resources would not last. Maybe you feel like that as you come into this time, aware that you know, you're thinking, maybe how will I make it through another month? And if it goes on longer than that, how will I make it beyond that? How will I not just make it maybe financially or maybe with our physical strength, but maybe particularly emotionally, even spiritually? Maybe like so many, you're feeling tired, even exhausted at the moment. How are we going to make it through? Well, you know, there's a wonderful picture of the presence of God in this trouble of a city under siege, of being squeezed. And it's this picture of a river in the city of God, a river that keeps bringing resources that are needed. In this picture, it's a river that makes glad the people of God. It's a river which means at the break of each day, they know that they're going to have help because God is within them. And I want to encourage you that whatever you're facing, that God's presence is like a river bringing resources to you that will never run out. How wonderful is that? You know, we're here on Remembrance Sunday and we're remembering real losses of people and things. And is it possible that even on this day, as we remember those things we've lost, that it's possible to remember something that we will never lose? Is it possible that there could be something that God could give us through this lockdown that we will never lose, that will always be there for us like a river pouring into our lives? Well, yes. You know what I find I need daily, that you need daily, is to know we are loved. And this river is a river of God's love that is steadfast and constant. You know what else I need daily? I need his grace, God's grace in my life. And this river is a reminder that God's grace is sufficient for every situation, every day, everything you're facing. You know what I need? It's hope. And this river is a river of hope that pours into our lives, that we've been reflecting and thinking of this one who didn't just die, but rose again, and who's coming back again one day. And in fact, this picture of a river in a city is kind of picked up in Revelation 22, this amazing passage at the end of the Bible that speaks of a heavenly city that's coming to earth. And, you know, we can have hope whatever we're going through, because God is loving and gracious and good. And his gifts can bring gladness into our heart and life even today, whatever trouble we're facing. There's a wonderful bit in a slightly earlier psalm, in Psalm 36, where it says this. Psalm 36, verse 8 says, "You give them drink from the river of your delights." You know, what is the result of this presence of God in trouble when we feel oppressed and under siege? Well, the presence of this river brings gladness, these rivers that make glad the city of God. And you know, it is possible, whatever you're facing, and I know even just in the last couple of weeks, just feeling just quite tired at times, even as I went into just a few days off at the end of half term, I just felt quite busy in my head, and like, how do I stop? And I actually was thinking about these verses, and I just came, as it were, to the river of God, and I drank deeply, and I found joy lifting and rising in my heart, and you can too. You know, one of the things where we so often most need that lifting as we come into a day when the kind of pressures and expectations can crowd around is, it is in the morning, but God will help you, the psalmist says, at break of day. And then he breaks into this kind of refrain of praise, of joy. He says this in verse 7. He says, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And it's like he's singing it out with a song of praise and joy and gladness. So we, because of God's presence and trouble, we can have courage. We can be glad. But then lastly, we can be still. We can be still. The psalmist goes on and says, "Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire." And then he goes on and says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." You know, often we need to be still to know that God, the God who is with us, can give us courage and gladness. We sometimes need to be still to let that sink in here. And this picture at the end of the psalm is of a trouble that's kind of the world at war and raging. It kind of takes us back to some of the things we've been thinking about of the world wars of the past, or even, off the kind of uproar of the nations at this time. No, not just the nation sometimes at war, but even within nations there's war, even within cities and families, and even sometimes in our own hearts and minds, battles can rage. You're experiencing a kind of battle even in your heart and mind. Well, amazingly, there's a picture of God in this psalm, of his presence in that trouble, which brings peace. A picture of God as the great conqueror that can come and bring an end to all war. It says that he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. How does he do that? Well, one of the big reasons for war in our world, in fact, a reason that underlies all wars, is that we, mankind, have rebelled against God. We've like declared war against God. So what is God going to do to bring peace between us and God, but also between us and other people? Well, when we're at war, we either look for a kind of negotiated peace, or if we can, we actually kind of would prefer sometimes to kind of destroy our enemies and to kind of win that victory in that way until they're kind of utterly crushed. And so what is God going to do? Well, God doesn't negotiate a peace. God doesn't kind of negotiate with evil in any way, shape or form. So does he then destroy his enemies? Destroy you and I when we rebel against him? Well, amazingly, no, he doesn't destroy us. He dies for us. He doesn't attack us. He saves us. And he does that in the most amazing way by giving himself on the cross for us. You know, it's Remembrance Sunday, and I sometimes carry a little cross in my pocket. It's a cross that just reminds me of the sacrifice that Jesus made for me. You know, I don't know if you've thought, as we've been going through this psalm and thinking about the presence of God, how is it possible for a holy God to be present with people like you and me who so often sin and do things that displease the holy God? Well, how is it possible? Well, only through the cross. Only through what Jesus Christ did as he died for my sin and your sin. Only through the way that he has made for me to be able to enjoy the presence of God, not just now, but forever. And he's made that way possible for you too. And on this Remembrance Sunday, we're going to, after this live stream, share in a meal of remembrance that Jesus himself gave to his disciples, a meal that we sometimes call communion, a place where we break bread and drink wine and we remember his body broken and his blood shed for me and for you so that we could have our sins forgiven in the past, know his presence now and for always. And what a difference that makes in our lives. You see, it enables us to be still. It enables us to be still and remember that he is God. To be not just in this lockdown and have a kind of enforced stillness put on us kind of externally, but what is much harder sometimes is to find an internal stillness. As we get perspective on all that's going on around and remember that God will be exalted over everything. He is God. And, you know, as that happens in our lives, we find that we're not just rushing around like we so often are, distracted or trying to fight for kind of making sure everything's okay as we try and juggle all the balls. But we're able to be still and remember that Jesus has done for us something that secures our future so that we can then live for others in a way that is not about us but about them. It enables us to be part of the light and hope and peace that he's bringing to others. And that's one of the reasons we can come into this next week thinking about our gift day and think, yes, we want to give with courage. And it's going to take courage in these financially uncertain times to give. But we can give with courage because of what he's done. You know, we can come and give cheerfully because our confidence is in him and his river of provision and blessing will continue into our lives. And I know that's been so many of our experiences in so many ways. But, you know, the stillness will help us too, just to sometimes be still and even now think, God, we want to hear your voice. What would you have us give? Everything we have is yours. I encourage you just now in this moment, why not just take some time to pause and just ask God, God, what would you have me give next week? As we seek to bless our city and show his light and presence, what would you have me give? But you know, our psalm ends with a kind of awe-filled note of praise again. It ends in this verse 11, the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. And this feels to me almost like one of those bits in an amazing praise time where we've been shouting praise and singing it loudly with joy. And then sometimes you find that moment where in awe, you almost stop singing except in your heart. And you go with a deep conviction, yes, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And so I would love us to just pause with a prayer. And the prayer's up here on the screen. And it's a prayer that just acknowledges the presence of God with us now and tomorrow and this next month and always. So why don't you join me in prayer as we come to the end of this message before we worship again. Let's pray together. Lord Almighty, God of Jacob, thank you for your presence. Thank you that you are my fortress. Help me live with courage. Help me be glad as I drink from the river of your delights. Help me be still and know that you are God. Thank you, Jesus, that through your death you've made it possible for me to be with you forever. Amen.